This episode of the Inside Running Podcast is proudly brought to you by New Balance. The global athletic leader is excited to announce an update to their award-winning Fresh Foam platform, the Fresh Foam X. Using the latest advancements in data to design, Fresh Foam X is New Balance's premium collection of their most elite Fresh Foam shoes. The Fresh Foam X collection debuts with the New Balance 1080 V10, which is available now at selected retailers and newbalance.com.au. Episode number 120 Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Big show coming out. A few things happened in the runner world in the last 7 days, so thanks for giving us a bit of your attention, downloading the show. Welcome to my co-host up in Canberra, King of Mulligans, Bradley Croker. How you going?
Good, mate. I'm just keeping the ball rolling. There's not a lot of momentum, but the ball hasn't stopped, so that's the positive, and I'm back into Mulligans, which is good.
Back into Mulligans. To get a bit of good feedback on that interview, that reference there to keeping the ball rolling the last week?
Yeah, I didn't get too much, like, personally, but, yeah, I've seen a bit on social media, which was nice.
And the old tin man. Moose, how you going? Down in Ballarat, 214, man.
Good. I'm what else did he say in that interview? I can say, wasn't there some other, like, analogy?
Analogy. Yeah, I'm not analogy. Sure. You're telling the story. You've opened one. Yeah.
I thought it was funny in that interview when he wanted to talk more technical and Croker just kept hammering him detail. So how many reps? What was the rest on that?
Well, what should
I do on Thursday?
What should I do the next Tuesday?
I was actually concerned that he was getting too scientific, and I'm like, this will go over just about 99% of the listeners' heads. I wanted to bring it back to layman's terms into what CV pace. It's roughly what you could hold for 30 minutes on the day in training.
Yeah, that was good. You asked that question.
Simple.
Because how many people do those 3 minute reps on their goal pace for race day?
Yeah, and so true. And as I said, like, if I'm in 30-minute 10K shape, 3-minute Ks in training, there's no way I feel like I could hold that for 30 minutes. So it's probably more like 3:10s. So I should be running reps at 3:10s. Mm.
Do you want to tell us about what you've been running reps at? Take us through Monday to Sunday.
Yep, no worries. So Monday afternoon, got out for 46 minutes, 4:16s. Then Tuesday morning, did a session where I did 5 3-minuters off 1-minute recovery. Then I had a 2-minute jog and then did 4 30-second reps off 1-minute recovery. And so the 3-minute reps ranged between 3:15 and last one would have been like 3:06. And then my 30-second reps were, I'm guessing sort of in the 2:40s per kilometer, but you never know with the 30s, they're always, you know, the Garmin's not that accurate. It was pretty, like, I didn't feel too bad doing it. We've had a lot of high humidity, which is rare for Canberra, so that certainly made things a little bit tougher. Off a minute recovery, that's for sure. So that was Tuesday. I did gym in the afternoon. Then Wednesday, ran out at Mulligan's, surprise, surprise. Sort of a midweek long run, or longer than what I had been doing. I did 80 minutes and got through 19K, and it was my first run in the new version of the New Balance 1080s. Great shoe. I remember talking about the last version where I ran like 1700 Ks in them, and like out of the box they look like they're this sort of brick, but they're deceptively quick. So I felt pretty rubbish for the first 45 minutes, and then the second half I was just like, oh, I actually feel like I'm going okay here. So yeah, 4:13s for that run. And then Thursday was like I finished this run and I like literally almost started crying. The first 3 or 4K was, you know, typical morning sort of just stiffness. And then I got to like 5K and I'm like, I have not felt like this for a year. Like I was just covering the ground well. The gauge for me was I could actually run down a hill without feeling like I had to work to run down a hill. And so all of my runs recently, I'm actually working to run down a hill because I just, I don't know, it's just the way that things are going. So I was just cruising like the last few K at sort of 350s, and yeah, it was amazing. So I did 11K, 407s, and thought, yeah, maybe I'm turning the corner here. Then the next morning got out and just did a 7K tempo at Mulligan's, but just back to the normal sort of stuff where even after a warm-up, I didn't feel like everything had warmed up. Tried to do some strides, felt a bit restricted, battled through, averaged 3:24s for 7K, and then did gym that afternoon again. Then Saturday, just an hour, 4:16s. Bumped into a couple of listeners of the show, actually. One of the guys, John, was wearing the Steigen inside running singlet. So I'd actually finished my run and we're at the gate, and those guys were, you know, approaching the gate and they stopped and had a bit of a chat, said nice singlet. And then he said, oh, do you mind if I get a photo? And it was like, at that point, I was like, yeah, no worries. I probably should have wore a shirt on this run. So yeah, there's a photo there, just topless, which yeah, cause I obviously didn't have a shirt. So that was Saturday. And then Sunday did 30K at 404s with, yeah, about 400 metres elevation. So my sort of normal loop around Mulligan's, which, yeah, it was sort of the quickest I've run around there. So it was a bit of a mixed bag, 120K for the week. Yeah, so I had those probably the second half of Wednesday and Thursday where I'm like, this is positive. This is how running should feel. So I think that's the positive to come of the week, out of the week, is that if I get my body right, then I know it's still there. So, yeah.
Mm, got a bit of a sign, a bit of a flash of it that one day.
Yeah, the one day, and then it's been pretty ordinary again. So we'll just see what happens this week.
Nearly broke down in tears, Moose.
Oh, he's an emotional guy.
Yeah,
I like that. The run's
seriously
important
to you, though. Like I've just battled shit runs after shit run after shit run for like over a year. And so when you get a glimpse of how it should feel, which is what I've been searching for a year, it's amazing. Like that day, I felt like I could have run all day at that sort of pace. But I just haven't been able to pinpoint what triggers it. Wednesday and Thursday and even Friday, I started putting like a heat pack on my lower back when I first got out of bed, because I think a lot of my stuff is back and hip mobility related. And then I'd also do a little bit of glute activation on those days. And, you know, I thought maybe that was the key. And then I did the same thing on Friday and that was no good. So I'll just keep ticking away, keep the ball rolling, as Tom Schwartz says.
Yeah, try to have more of those days.
Yeah.
Just got to hit it. Mm.
Well, the fitness is there. Like I'm training enough that physiologically I'm doing the work. So if I can get the biomechanical stuff sorted, then there's no reason I shouldn't be running okay in a while.
Tell me what's pulling down on you. Like what is it that's hurting when you run?
Nothing. Yeah, so nothing's hurting. It's more just a restriction. So like, yeah, just no drive, no power. So like, as I said, you know, normally when you're running, you're sort of free wheel down a hill and you don't put in any effort and you run, you know, pretty quick, or, you know, whereas I'm actually having to work to do that. Like I just have this, yeah, like this whole center of gravity thing where I'm always just feeling like I'm going backwards and I have to generate my own power. And the only way I can generate my own power at the moment is purely through like my Achilles. And so I wake up every morning and my Achilles is stiff as for the first 15 minutes, which is a sign for me that I'm not moving well. And so I'm not sure whether it's purely biomechanics, whether it's, you know, iron related. So I've been on iron tablets for a while now. But like today I ran for an hour at 4:30s and it was like one of the hardest runs I've done. Like it just felt like I was almost going to trip over myself. So who knows?
The roller coaster.
Yep, that's me.
The old roller coaster. Yeah.
But I'm getting out. But I'm getting out the door.
Getting out the door, keeping the ball rolling. Moose.
100 days yet?
No, I'm at over 40, and that's the other baffling
thing. You've still got ages.
Yeah, I've got ages, but I reckon if you look back at the last 10 years of my running, any time I've strung together 40 consecutive days, I'm normally running pretty well. Mm-hmm. So, and I wouldn't say that I'm running well.
Biomechanically well. The engine's there, but the body's not clicking.
Yeah, yeah. Motivation's there too. Like, I'm still keen, and that's why I'm still getting out the door and just hoping that something clicks and away we go.
Hats off to you for persisting. Shit, we've had a few weeks where we talk on this podcast about, I'm still just giving it a crack.
Yeah, like that's one thing about my personality though is, I don't know if it's stupidity or not, but I'm pretty stubborn, and so I'm not going to give in yet.
Someone else is not giving in. Moose, fittest he's ever been, he reckons. Keeping a lid on it though.
Oh, I've got to keep a lid on it. You know, there's 10 weeks left. A lot of things. A lot can happen in 10 weeks. But yeah, the rig is in good nick at the moment.
Cosmetically or like fitness wise?
Oh, both. You know, I've put a lot of time and effort into the rig, younger fella. Got real like defined. And it's back.
You talk some shit, baby.
And
mate, nah. you sound like a bride in the lead up to their wedding about trying to get the body looking good for the wedding.
So I've gone from wearing a full suit to wearing an unbuttoned short sleeve Tommy Bahama shirt at this wedding. No, last week I was actually woke up real tired in the morning by the looks of my title. Can't remember it, but ran to the gym, obviously, did some weights, funnily enough. And then in the afternoon, ran with a couple of boys. We went in flat, I think, with Freeman and Watto, a couple of guys who are on the higher end of the intelligence scale for our group anyway. That's not to say that they're smart people, but compared to the others. Tuesday, ran the Moose Loop. I got this loop here. It's about 17K. It's pretty hilly. Ran with Bree, the hookster, for a little bit. Got some nicknames for Bree. Hookster's one of them. Hookinator, another nickname. If you ever follow my Strava, you'll see that. That's a fun fact. Then had the heart rate on. Fuck, it was humid. As you were saying, Brad, Ballarat is not used to humidity and we don't handle it well. So I've actually, like, I weigh myself when I wake up and I just realized how much I was sweating. So I measured my weight and then the scale said I lost 1.3 kilos. That's a solid amount for an easy run. Afternoon, ran home. This is a sign that I think when you're getting fit, when you can do an easy run, like at an easy heart rate and run pretty quick. So I think I ran average 4:01s, but the heart rate was super low on that run. I'm not sure what it was, but it was under 135.
It was 132 average.
Yeah, and
it's pretty good.
That's a sign, I reckon. It's a sign the body's adapting to stuff. Even if, like, you might not feel good when your heart rate's that and you're jogging, it's working. I didn't sleep that night though. So that night I had a really shit sleep and I took a sleeping pill at like 2 a.m. and woke up with a real bad, like, sleeping pill hangover, which is way worse than a drinking hangover. It knocks you out. And in the end, the workout was pretty good though. I did 4 by 3 minutes on 2 minutes. It was 4 sets of 3 minute, 2 minute, 1 minute. And then I would jog 60 seconds in between each of them. And I tried to get it so that, like, as the rep got shorter, I got faster. And yeah, what'd I do? 3 minutes was about, I reckon, about 3 to 3:05s. The 2 minutes was probably around 3 minutes, maybe a little less. 1 minute, probably 250, 255s. Average 3:20 for the session. Kept that sort of mantra in mind about not cooking yourself, staying on the comfortable side of everything, and that's what this one felt like. So I was happy with how I felt after I finished it. Wednesday, missing a run on Wednesday, I reckon. Wait, oh no, sorry, wrong week. Ran run club in the afternoon on the trails. Thursday, ran in a Canadian, we've got a Canadian loop now, sort of getting this routine where I know where I'm going to run every day. This was the Canadian Forest Loop. Ran with my mate Maddie in the afternoon, jogged home. Friday, again, super humid. Did some surges before Radford, so went on that back on that 30-second on, 90-second jog circuit, which, funnily enough, Tin Man, Tom Schwartz interview, he talks about doing that too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And yeah, that I like that. Like, I like to change gears. It makes the run go a bit quicker too when you're not just out there plodding away. Afternoon, it was piss and rain, which was weird. Saturday, we went to the cemetery and did a tempo, so 5x2K loops, basically. You go up a hill, solid hill each lap, and there's three hills overall for the 2K, but there's one hill that's just pretty solid. It takes about maybe 90 seconds to climb, 2 minutes maybe. And so I did 5 laps of that. I've only ever done 4 laps before. So stretched it out, 10K. I went through the 10K mark in about 31:50. This was as good as I've ever done a workout, because in there to average 3:11s for the whole workout is pretty solid. I never thought I'd be able to do that as a workout under control. That was a real big sign for me that things are going well. A few fellas in there doing it with me, just doing different amounts. So we got a good group going. And then in the afternoon, jogged after work, went up to Melbourne, woke up the next day in Melbourne, ran with some cute boys by the sounds of my title. So ran with some guys from Albert Park. Who was there? Stewie McSween, the Australian record holder. Also Brett Robinson, Australian record holder. So they were out, fucking weirdos. Stewie was wearing tights. It was like 24 degrees. Brett had this long sleeve thermal top on. Such weird steez from those fellas.
Did you just have like your shirt off?
No, singlet for me. I was a little bit self-conscious. You know,
maybe that's where you're going wrong, Moose. You're bagging out what these guys are wearing and
Australian record holders.
Could you imagine on a 24 degree day wearing a long sleeve fucking thermal top with like a collar on it?
Kenyans do.
Did that? True. How long was their long run though?
I'm not sure exactly.
Brett's was 29 by the looks of it.
Oh yeah, yep. It's not like they just did 14K of your long run. They were out there for a while.
Nah, but that was good. So we kind of hooked around the city, did a few weird little loops, went across the Tangi. That's an active place. Bit different. You know you're out of Ballarat when you run around the Tan in Melbourne, that's for sure. And I ended up running 37K, average 4:03s. The climbing, my watch must be fucked, because there is
elevation.
No,
elevation is very, I saw that, Moose, I'm like, that is very generous around there.
In Melbourne, we went up a couple of hills, but damn, not that many. I don't know how to sort that out, but yeah, that's, and then in the afternoon. Like,
that's what Brady gets in the Chuka.
Yeah.
Check if there's a difference between your Garmin Connect, though, and your Strava.
Surely.
I reckon it's a Strava problem.
Or, yeah, maybe I'll have a look.
I get that when I go around the track, Brad. Most of my track races, it doesn't even show the pace, it just shows me elevation.
Yeah. ran with Collis in the afternoon up at Princess Park. That was fun too. Had a beer with him afterwards and dinner. So that was a big week, 192.7 kilometres. On to the next one. Down week this week for me. Woke up pretty tired after that. So easy week. two big marathon workouts this weekend, this week.
Two in 1 week, 10 weeks out.
Well, yeah, I'm into marathon training now. Nine weeks from the Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did see Nick Earls entered marathon prep as well. He put on his Strava
marathon. Oh, was he doing like a 20-minute fartlek?
I don't know. I'll hear all about it on Road to London next week. He's excited. So, do you reckon Brad Moose is going to be close to getting that Melbourne Track Club hat now? Does the long run with the boys, gets into London from Nick Bedeau, got to be close to a hat?
Yeah, you'd think so. I think so. There have been requests for you to interview Nick. Yeah.
Mate, I'm going to bring fucking merchandise from the podcast along. I reckon I could sell a bit at that group.
Hey, Moose, and what's Colas up to? Is he doing much running?
No. No, not a lot of running. A lot of building.
Yeah.
Nails and hammers and the like.
So, Moose, it sounds like you're in a pretty good spot 10 weeks out.
I haven't been this fit 10 weeks out before. That's a fact. That doesn't mean that I'll be fitter on the day, but that's just where I'm at right now.
It's probably why a down week's a good idea.
Yeah, I needed it too. I was a bit sore. Had a sore back yesterday, like... just super tired and drained. And I thought, oof, time to back it off. Time to get fresh again.
Read the body. Plenty of time. Go through my week, eight. Kicked it off with Monday. I was in Bendigo. Come off that 28K kind of 95% marathon session last Sunday. So I was a bit sore Monday morning. Did 10K at 4:35 pace in the afternoon. I did 12K at 4:28 pace. Tuesday, did 16K in the morning at 4:18 pace, and then 8K in the afternoon at 4:37K pace. Must have been hot if that was the pace for that run. Wednesday, I was back doing a workout. It was 10 by 1K. A rough night's sleep as well, Moose. Different reasons, though, I think. The baby was kind of doing sleep and fart like the night before when it was on a bit, off a bit. You know what that's like, Bradley?
Sure. Oh, actually, I don't know that. No, okay, not really.
You've got a good sleeping baby.
You're pretty lucky.
Yeah, it's just like doing monofart, like they do a couple of ons and offs and then just keep you up most of the night. But anyway, was feeling a bit tired on Wednesday morning. It was so humid. One of those workouts I just didn't want to get out of the car. Like, could have just sat there all day and not done it. So I kind of, you did have try to hit 3 minute K pace in my program, and from the first one, I just knew I was off. I was just tired, and it was humid, it was heavy, and having that Tin Man interview fresh in my head was kind of good, because I thought, nah, I'm just going to do this at my 10K pace as if I was racing a 10K on the day kind of thing. So ran the first one. I was on like a dirt track down by the river, did the first one in 3:04, and then kind of just... got rolling a bit about halfway through the workout, like a 3:01. It was a bit windy, so I was kind of going out and back. So 3:04, 3:01, 3:02, 3:01, 3. And then in the second half, things just started to click. Like, I just, similar effort, but I was just kind of in a good groove. And maybe that's a bit of a thing when you're in the kind of middle of a marathon preparation. It just takes a while to, I don't know, get over the fatigue mid-session, or takes a while to get into a bit of rhythm. And then the last five were like 2:58, 2:59, 2:58, 3 minutes, and 2:55. Might have got a bit carried away in that last one.
Just bang one, just for old time's sake.
Hey, loves a bit of fifth gear.
Just to check it's still there.
Hey, I'm guessing Tom Schwartz wasn't in your head for the last one.
Well, that was the way I was thinking about it. Anyway, just take this easy. I was actually thinking, like, do this workout as if you're doing a 10K, like, effort. Because sometimes when I do 1K reps, I get 2 minutes into them, and I know I've only got a minute left before like the 90-second recovery, and I just, you know, get up on my toes and finish strong. Whereas I was like, nah, just run this, you know, the fourth one like you're in the fourth K of a 10K. And that's probably why the last one was a bit quick. But yeah, it was good to get probably average 3 minutes at the end, but just done it the wrong way around. So it was good to get that done, but so humid. Like, I've never seen sweat dripping off me like that day. Like, the shoes were just drenched. Like, one of those ones you just... yeah, you're changing your shoes over and you're like, you just hear dripping. Like, it's just dripping everywhere and just making puddles and stuff. So unpleasant kind of morning. So that was Wednesday. Didn't do a PM run Wednesday. That was just that bigger workout in the morning. Thursday, 14K in the morning at 4:22s, 8K in the afternoon at 4:26s. Friday was just one run again. It was 18K with 8:30-second surges with 90 seconds jog between. Just did them on the little athletics track on the grass again there. Super humid again, though. Like, the sweat was just dripping off me. Saturday morning, did 16K, went down. We had this, like, Riverboats Music Festival in town this weekend. So the weekend before was that Southern 80 boat race, which I was telling you about. And then this weekend it was this music festival. So I kind of went down and jogged where they set that up and just had a bit of a look at what was going on around there. It's kind of good for the town. They reckon like 40,000 people come into the town. So that was good. Plenty of hipsters around, bit of a different crowd, kind of similar looking people as you the week before, Brad, kind of like the Monster Energy hats and stuff like that at the Southern 80, whereas this was like the wide brim hats this weekend. So it was good.
Can I just say I've never owned any like Fox or Monster apparel in my life, but anyway.
That's untrue. That is not true.
You, the Robertson twins, I'm sure. I was certain I saw you guys on the boats a couple of weeks earlier. Anyway, so I was feeling like junk actually Saturday morning. End up doing 16K, but one of those ones where first 2 or 3K, I'm like, I just feel super, like just a bit tired, a bit heavy. So I just looked at my heart rate the whole way. Ended up keeping it at 124 for 16K. Pace was 437. Just ticked it off because I knew I had a big workout coming on the Sunday, and 8K in the afternoon, Saturday, Arva, 434 pace. And then Sunday, I had a progressive long run. So instructions were 15K easy pace, and then change shoes, 10K at 330 pace, 5K at 325 pace, 5K at 320 pace, 2x2K at 315 pace with a K jog in between. So all up, that was 40K. It was pretty close to what Moose kind of set on the splits. I do have him here. Met Archie. Archie was doing Vic Myles Club, so racing. So he didn't do too much of the workout. He did the first kind of, I did 5K by myself first up and then did 10K with him. We kind of averaged about 4 minute K pace for that first 15K. And then we did the 10K and we averaged, let me open this up, 328s. And then the 5K that was meant to be 325s, we hit 323s. The 5K that meant to be 320s, we hit 318 average. And then I got a bit carried away in this first 2K kickdown. Instead of averaging 315s, I averaged 308s. And at that stage, I was like, nah, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And then that was the first time in the workout that I kind of had a bit of recovery. So kind of floated a K at 3:48 and then pretty much ran that last 2K with brakes on. It was one of the best feelings in my life to be punching, you know, 38 to the 40th K running 3:12s and not wanting to end up like in a gutter like I usually do when I run marathons and I'm at that stage of the race. And obviously like off the slower start, like, so it's not actually, you know, that marathon feeling you get, but it was good to kind of get close to the fire and to be able to put the brakes on and feel strong. I jogged 2K cool down back to the car, which got me a 42K morning. And this week, like, all the heart rate data was really good. It was only kind of went over 160 when I punched that 2K a bit too fast and that 2K at the end. So all up, it was 42K at 338 average with an average heart rate of 150. So cool workout, loved it. Practice one, I went half nutrition. So I think I got, I think it was about 150 grams of carbs in and like 200 mils times five. So like a bit of a liter. It was 20 degrees, so like not too hot, but still not, you know, weather coolness like we'll get in Rotterdam. So yeah, good signs. I was really happy with that workout and good one, Moose. Never done that kind of stuff before. I think mentally it gives me a lot of confidence to know that I can still run fast in those later Ks.
Lit up Strava, it did. Nearly 700 kudos and 41 comments.
Yeah, I had to get on there and just put it down a bit though. Did you see, Mike? Yeah, including you, Brad. I was just like, hey guys, training is just training. Like, I was getting text messages the whole day from like mates I coach who have run like 250. It's like, you gotta smash me marathon PB on a bloody Sunday. So it's good that people they're getting on and kind of, yeah, that's gonna build my confidence as well. But training is just training. Like, all this stuff is good, but I need to make a show on race day at Rotterdam. So, I don't want this to be my marathon on Strava.
So what is the goal then for Rotterdam?
I haven't really spoken about goals. I'd like to run a PB. I'd like to run something something that lines up with my 5 and my 10. Like something.
You'll run at least 2:16.
I don't know. I still got to get a lot of things right, but this workout did give me a lot of confidence, and like I think I'm still 6 weeks out as well, so I've got plenty of time. And as long
that was the first proper one, that was it. That was there's a few you probably do 4, I reckon, big ones, and that was one of them.
Yeah. Well, last week I actually found last week was more difficult than this week. Like that 28K at that one pace, I found that was like. To tell you what I'm learning about this stuff is I'm good when I don't have to concentrate for long periods of time. So this went by in like the click of the fingers because I'm like, do 5K by yourself. There's Archie at the car. Do 10K of Archie. All right, do 10K at 3:30s. Change pace. Like that's, which I know that's hard because that's not what you got to do in a marathon. But maybe that's the way I've just got to frame it in my mind that we're just running 10Ks here and then we're just running from 10 to 20. Don't get overwhelmed that you're doing 42 at a certain pace.
Maybe you should fart like it.
I said that a couple of weeks ago, didn't I? Do 4K well, on 1K float. Nick, just do 5
Nick Earl, Nick Earl did in Lake Biwa.
Yeah. Just hope the right guy goes past you halfway through the race.
There's too much fucking Nick Earl for this in 1 week for me.
Nick Earl and Tin Man getting a real good shout out in episode 120.
You're so easy to stir up, Moose. Just got him hook, line and sinker.
Oh, let's thank some Patreon supporters, eh? Kick us off, Bradley, in the green.
All right, let me just get to it. So my shout-out this week's to Alex Buswell from Mount Coolum. Alex has a 3:59 marathon PB, which was set at the Sunshine Coast Marathon. Estimated Strava best times are 22 minutes for 5K, 50 minutes for 10, and 1:57 for the half. But I'm guessing that was basically set during the marathon. Fan of Ricky Gervais. He's got a photo as a Strava profile picture. And there's a quick listener question here. Just wondering if you'd be able to let us know what supplements you take during a normal training program and then how it changes once you have a specific race to train for. Thanks, Alex. I'll kick off first. I don't take any supplements. The only thing I'm taking at the moment are some iron tablets. So I guess it is a supplement, but I normally don't take iron tablets, but I am at the moment one a day. That's my answer to that one.
Yeah, Alex, I take iron and I have like a multivitamin drink every day as well, which I don't know if any of that stuff works. I just kind of chuck it in some water and drink it, one of those, you know, things that dissolve. And then I pretty much just pee fluoro yellow about an hour and a half later. So that's all I do. And it doesn't change. That's kind of, wow, I guess the iron stuff changes because I've been supplementing that after I got that infusion. I tell you, I got that retested, boys.
Yeah, you said it was up over 100 still.
Still good, 118, which was good. So because when I got that first one, when it was low, it was at 20. So
yeah.
It would have been good to get one after the infusion just to see how high it got. And if it's dropped down to 118 or it got to 120 and kind of stayed similar. But yeah, it's good that I'm still high. Moose, what do you do for supplementation? Oh, protein. I have a protein shake. Is that
I do that. Yeah, I do that as well. Yeah. After my gym and after my hard sessions.
Yeah. So every day for
supplementation. Supplements. I take melatonin to try to go to sleep at night. That's about it, I reckon. I don't do much else than that. I sometimes take, I used to do like that thing you used to do, Brad, casein before bed.
Oh, yeah, yep.
I used to do that, but I don't anymore. I used to fuck my guts a bit. Yeah.
I don't train enough to do that at the moment. But I haven't had that for ages, actually. Yeah.
I was finding that the protein would destroy my stomach in the next morning. Mm. It didn't work out for me.
Remember back in those Road to Berlin days, you were taking like some real dodgy sleeping tablets?
Oh, I've still got them, yeah. We just don't talk about them anymore. Yeah. They actually went through a period. We probably shouldn't talk about them.
Thanks for your support, Alex.
Yeah.
Who are you thanking, Moose?
Lionel Worth. So Lionel... Run Strong Athlete, coached by Ali Pashley, has two kids. He's run 38.45 10K, 127.15 half, 313 at the Hobart Marathon. Does a bit of running by power, going by his Strava photos. Evan Schwartz will be happy with that. If you're a long-time fan of the podcast, you'll know what I'm about with that comment. He was at the live event in Melbourne. Mullum Mullum Park Run, local, maybe coming back from a niggle. Yep, I think he's had some sort of issue going on. All good now, apparently. Good on you, Lionel.
Just going by Strava. Hey, a good point there. Long-time listeners, you might have listened to all the episodes of the podcast, but if you're new to the show, only like the latest 50 or 80 or some number like that turn up in the iTunes, like Spotify charts, or not charts, like the stream where you can look back over all our shows. But if you want to look back at like the start of the podcast and go back to the early days, you got to go to the Podbean app or the Podbean website. That's the place where you can scroll through and see all the way from 1 to 120. Had a few people asking us, how do you go back and listen to those episodes? So that's a bit of an update there that you just reminded me of. Moose, I'm going to thank Chris, spelled K-R-I-S, signed up with no postal address or last name. But I think he did set a profile picture on, I think it's a he, there was a picture of a man and a woman on Patreon. So set the photo, but no more details than that. Was going to go with the old origins of your name, Chris, but it was getting real religious real quick. And I know Moose doesn't like the religious stuff on the podcast, so...
Don't start this shit.
I'm just going to thank you, Chris, for your Patreon contribution. Thank you to all the patrons. You keep the show, the podcast, alive every week. If you get value in our podcast, you can go over, and there's three different kind of levels you can support us at.
Brady, quick question.
Yeah.
What makes you think it's a guy when the profile picture had a picture of a guy and a girl in it?
Sorry?
I think it's a guy because he put up a profile picture and it had a guy and a girl in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's why I was confused. So maybe it's a girl. I was just going with probably like 65, 70% of our listeners are male, so I was just playing that stat.
Yeah, okay.
Which
yeah.
I just made up off the top of my head to make myself hopefully sound all right. Thanks, Chris. You know who you are. We don't know much about you, but thanks for your support.
This episode of the Inside Running Podcast is sponsored by New Balance, helping athletes find their better. The New Balance 1080 V10 is the brand's pinnacle cushioning shoe within the new Fresh Foam X collection and provides the flagship expression of how runner data, supreme comfort, and cutting-edge design visually comes to life, all in one plush and sophisticated package. Delivering an unexpected combination of softness and energetic rebound, the refined Fresh Foam sole unit honors every step of every mile with this premier way of cushioning. New Balance's precision-driven obsession to learn from runners' data now has a personality with a new design visual and supple knit upper.
Running news, boys. Joshua Cheptegei, our friend of the show, over in Uganda, shattered the world record. He ran 12:51 on the roads. This 5K road record we've spoken about a couple of times because it's only just recently been a kind of world record that the IAAF has kind of, World Athletics have kind of set. The previous world best, though, on the road was 13 dead from Carlsbad when Sammy Kepteker broke it back or set it in the year 2000. So he did take, I think, 27 seconds off the previous record, but he took 9 seconds off the previous best. There's a video of it getting around. This guy's rolling like 230 kilometers or something, isn't it? I think it works out to be. And by himself from the start, absolutely fanging it. It's well worth a watch if you've got, 12 minutes and 51 seconds spare. I'm sure if you just YouTube it, we'll maybe be able to find it in the show notes. Ross, if we can find that, that would be fantastic because it's well worth a watch. Any comments on that, boys?
Good start to the year for him. Could be, I wonder what his odds are for an Olympic gold medal this year.
Oh, yeah. Watto's the man to get onto that stuff. He'll know. Mm. Yeah. Watto is the guy. Hey, Brad, I missed this next bit of news last week. Moose, do you have any comments on that before we move on?
Pretty good running, apparently.
Pretty good running, flying. Brad Milroe's games last week. I missed it. I think it was because it was late or something. I don't know. Maybe I was just busy. But Ollie Hoare, he had a pretty good mile over there. Tell me what he ran and tell me about a couple of guys he scalped.
Yeah, so Ollie's a New South Wales boy, ran for, I think, Sutherland, actually. And so he ran 3:56 0.47, which got him second behind Chris O'Hare from the Great Britain. So Chris O'Hare ran 355.61. And during that race, he beat Nick Willis, Eric Jenkins, and Philip Ingebrigtsen. So just another one of these Aussie guys that goes, or girls, that goes over to the US and comes back a much better runner. So expect to see big things from him in the next year. And, you know, potentially, what do you reckon? Will he come back for trials?
Oh, yeah, got to be a shot, wouldn't he, to make the 1500 metre team? Wasn't even thinking about him, to be honest.
Yeah, so, you'd think he'd at least come back and have a crack.
So much depends on what Stewie does in the 1500 there. Like, two spots up for grabs or three spots up for grabs? Did he say anything Sunday, Moose? What events he's going for?
Who?
Stewie.
Oh, nah. We mainly talk about...
You can't say that. I'm gonna have to beat that out. Canberra Track Classic, Moose. You watched the 3K steeple up there. What'd you think?
I did, actually. Yeah, no. So, crazy race. Some Japanese fella just went fucking gangbusters from the start. And I thought that the boys would have gone with him because it didn't seem like he was going that fast. When you look at the times that the fellas ran, like, he actually wasn't going that fast. But so the Australian blokes back in the pack, we had some big names there. Jordan Williams, the first steeple back for a while. Matthew Clark, Max Stevens was in the pack, but I think he dropped out, right?
Yeah.
And Ben Buckingham was supposed to run, I think, but he was ill. So there was some good fellas enters. James Nipperis actually was the real star of the night. So he just dropped them two laps, three laps to go. He just went off the front of that second pack, ended up catching the Japanese bloke about 300 metres from home, straight past him, and ran 8:41 for the win.
Mm. Which people might have thought his time might have been done, Brad Nipper, over the 3K steeple. Like, obviously super successful, made teams, won so many national championships, but people starting to talk about Williams, Clark, Buckingham, Stevens, but Nipper's smoked him.
And he looked good too. Over that last sort of 600 to 800, he looked really, really strong. And, you know, coming off, like, he stepped, I'm not sure about him stepping up his mileage, but he's had a bit more of a 10K focus recently, like ran Zatopek. And so, yeah, he's obviously back in the mix now. So it's going to be interesting to see who makes the team for the steeple.
Well, they got to run for the steeple? Anyone know? Like 8:24, is that right?
It's fast. It's real fast.
Yeah, I think it's really going to come down to points for these boys, unless somebody has a blinder.
Jordan Williams, Moose, does he stick with the steeple or go down the 1500? Or do both?
Probably try both if it's reasonable for, like, during the trials, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, if it works with the timetabling. 800 metre was pretty impressive. Georgia Griffiths ran 2 minutes, 0.88, so just missed the 2 minute mark, went out hard with the pacemaker, only one who went with it, and then had a huge lead in the back straight. Katrina Bissett, first time I think she's raced in a while. She was second in 202.41. And Catherine Camp from New Zealand, said her name last week as well, I think, talking about Melbourne Track Classic in that 1500 metres. Brad, she was third, 202.97. So they were the only two distance races on. I watched most of the meet, and there was just huge gaps between pretty much every event, and one of the most boring athletic meets I have ever watched. I feel for those guys doing the commentary because they had to fill so much dead time. That's a hard task to do stuff like that. Like, I couldn't work out why there was like five events in the space of like half an hour, 45 minutes. They've got to make that more engaging. Not sure why I was watching it, actually. Oh, I know why. Carly was out and I was back looking after the baby and we're just watching some athletics. And I'm just sitting on the couch, chilling out. Tokyo Marathon. Moose, what happened?
They fucked off the event, mate, the mass participation. So they said, no, we're going to cancel this to stop all you blokes and ladies coming in our country, bringing your coronavirus with you. So cancelled, no refunds. They're still going to run the elite race, which is the front of the field. What, there's going to be, what, 20 people, 20 men, 20 women or something similar, some sort of number like that, because I think they have wheelchair athletes as well. So that seems a strange decision, doesn't it?
Like, well, I guess you can manage those guys, can't you?
Yeah, you might be able to manage them, but you're going to shut the city down for one, for just an elite race. But then again, they've taken everyone's money, so they're going to have all that cash for road closures and the rest of it.
And the roads are going to be shut down anyway. So,
well, they didn't have to be. Like, it's not like you can't cancel road closures.
It's still business as usual in Japan, though, at the moment, isn't it? Like, people are out in the street walking around, spectators and stuff. Like, people still lie in the streets and watch it?
Probably. In Japan, they probably would, for sure.
It's going to be interesting now, because anybody that's entered for this year can defer their entry to next year. They still have to pay the entry fee next year, but it means that they're guaranteed an entry, which I wonder what that means for them. Because I'm guessing they cap entries for Tokyo. It's so hard to get into. And so if everybody who entered this year can go into next year, it probably means that there's even less spots for people to want to run it next year.
Yeah. So there was 38,000 people in the mass field that now aren't going to start. Do you guys know anything about the sub-elite program? Like, is that still going to go ahead? Or that doesn't include it?
No, it's not. It's not. So it's just the elite. Tokyo have runners one, which gives access to people like 220 to 240, I think, for men. And then for ladies, maybe like 240 to 3 hours. And that's been cancelled too.
Yeah, so this is just the like super elite guys.
Proper.
It's only going to be like 25 tops. There weren't many people.
No, it's going to be a proper elite race.
Yeah, more than 300,000 people applied to run that this year. So if you think that many people are going to apply next year, but there's only going to be 5,000 spots maybe, if a lot of people defer them. Interesting one. It's a huge decision. Hopefully that stuff, that coronavirus, doesn't spread everywhere and shutting down races everywhere. Bradley, listener question.
All right, which one? Top one?
Up to you. You're the listener question, man. Always put the two there for you to choose.
You get told that your next run will be the last one you can ever do. Who do you choose to do it with? So solo, training buddy, or a group? And what type of run or session do you choose and why? That question has come in from Glenn.
I love a hypothetical Glenn.
Well, you kick us off there, Brady.
Love questions like this. I'd go solo. I'd probably do 25 to 32K, and I'd get in all the sights of a Chukamoama, just listen to some music, probably build a playlist of some of my most played songs over the last 10 years since I've been living up here, and just enjoy one last loop on the local trails out the front door, start from the house, finish from the at the house, and just suck it in, take it in one last time, and enjoy it, and just reminisce a bit out there. That would be my... They'd probably do it at 4:30, 4:25K pace, and just low heart rate, meditative, just have fun. That would be my answer, Glenn.
Contemplating your death.
Yeah, I think I'd just contemplate the last journey that we've been on, out there running, because I do all my training by myself anyway, most of it. So that would be they're all my memories.
That surprises me. I didn't think you'd go solo. It was the last run you could ever do again. You'd just do it on your own.
I'm like a social person. I like being around people, but I don't really like running with people that often. I enjoy my own company. I just like being alone, like while you're running and not thinking about talking. And yeah, that's my answer. What would you do then?
Well, no. What about you, Moose? Would you go solo or you'd go with a group? Sure.
Oh, mate, that would be the only reason I would run. Mm. So, like. That I would never go out for a run by myself if I was going to die. What, the next day? Is that what it said?
No, you're not going to die.
I
read that a bit wrong.
Yeah, it's the last run you can ever do.
Well, so you could die the next day, or you can just never run again.
Oh, I read that as like the world ends the next day.
No. Well, if I was going to die, I'd spend it with people then. I just thought, no, I didn't. Yeah. I was just assuming my running career, well, your running journey's over that day.
Brady, you'd want to do it on your own so you could fifth gear it towards the end.
I just told you, I'd go 4:25 pace. Cool to me.
Clean up some segments so no one can ever take them back. So I would run with mates. Last run ever do. I'd probably run something shit like the Monday loop just to get that last bit of feel.
Always bag that.
Yeah, but the like Monday Loop banter's as good as any.
Yeah, okay.
To be fair, it's the same joke as Sunday, but just on a different loop.
And just cruising, just what, 4:30s, 4:20s?
I don't know. I don't. If it was the last one I'd ever do, I wouldn't give a shit because you're not getting fit for anything.
I'm surprised when you didn't say the Ballarat 15K or something. Just light
I clocked
that up.
Already. When you clock a game, it's over, mate.
A marathon. Bradley, yeah. What's your answer then?
I think I'd want to do it with people. Like you, I do everything solo. Like the easy answer would be just mulligans, bit of Taylor Swift, bit of Miley Cyrus, playlist going. But I reckon it'd be, and it, for me, it would definitely be an easy run. So I can obviously talk to people. I would choose probably like three or four people from all of the different training groups that I've been part of throughout my life. And just basically reliving various stories that obviously come up when you're training with people. So that would probably be my answer, and it would be through mulligans. Yeah, and I reckon somewhere, I don't know, maybe 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Yep. Just reliving the glory days. Yeah, good answers. Thanks, Glenn, for that question. Moose, got something?
Oh. I already answered it.
Oh, no, I meant moose on the loose. Sorry, I forgot to say it on the loose bit.
I've actually thought about this one in the shower, funnily enough. Sometimes I get bored in the shower and just look through my watch.
Yeah.
It's almost like I'm so addicted to my phone that when I get in the shower, I'm like, fuck, what am I going to look at?
Where you watch in the shower.
Yeah, so I scroll through my watch and sometimes I pick up like old notifications, read messages.
Isn't that so bad the way that society's got though, like just with the phone addictions? Like I'm the same. Yeah. It's a problem.
Do you watch
it's a
the shower?
Real issue.
It is. Are you addicted to your phone, Brady?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I am probably.
Or social media. Like I'm really trying
trying to slow down a bit. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Sorry, Moose. Continue.
Hang on, Brad. Do you have a shower with your Garmin on?
No. Well, I've never showered with my Garmin. Yeah. I take it off.
I think that's odd.
You're
going to
wash all the sweat off it. You fucking sweat on it, right? Oh, wash it off.
Imagine how dirty it is underneath your wrist there. Oh.
I still wash it, but I never go in the shower.
I'm talking about Moose because he would never wash under his wrist because he always has his watch on.
Yeah. I took my watch off one day. I had dreadlocks in my arm hair.
You're a sicko.
What was it, the question again?
So you're moose on the loose.
All right, yeah. So I'm flicking through and then I have a look at there's a feature on mine. Do you guys have race predictor?
Yeah.
So if I flick,
I want to find it if I'm Garmin Connect.
Yeah, go through yours. It's going to be classic. Oh, yeah, I've got mine here. Race predictor. Keep in mind that like 2.5 weeks ago, I think it was, maybe 3 weeks, I ran 14:30. On Saturday morning, I ran 31:50 for 10K. And I'm pretty disappointed in a predicted marathon. But this is what it's going to give me. This is what it predicts. My Garmin, after being in my wrist, knowing my every movement for the last 4 or 5 years, 5K says I can run 15:33. Half marathon, 1:12:20. Fucking hell, what a kick in the guts. 10K, 32:50. Oh, I lost a minute of fitness in 2 days. And the marathon, 2:33:53.
Got you covered, Moose.
Bullshit.
No, well, so mine, I guess the issue I have with mine is I don't run with a heart rate monitor very often, and the wrist heart rate is also turned off. So you know, it's basically not collecting any data for me. So for me, it says I'm detraining because it's got like my training load for the last 7 days is zero. Mine's not a true reflection at all. But interestingly enough, before I did Lake Biwa, it actually predicted like 2:17, like pretty much what I ran. But then as soon as I finished the run, it had my prediction was like 2:20. So like from that run, it's like I just run 2:17, but then my predictor was 2:20, whereas 2 days before it was 2:17. So I get what you're saying.
Crazy. Mm. How someone's getting paid a lot of money to come up with algorithms that are that bad that they can't even recognize that you've run quicker on the watch. The watch is recording everything. It can't even register that you've run 10K faster than what it's predicting 2 days before. Surely that's like, that's an easy thing for these fucking nerds to fix.
But why does it worry you so much? Like, why do you need that gimmick on your watch? Like, yes, it's on the watch, but I don't buy the watch for that.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, it's not I'm just like,
you sound bothered.
If you're going to do your job, do it fucking properly. Program this shit where it picks up if you run faster than the predictor. It automatically goes to that time on the predictor.
Overrides it.
Do you know what that just reminded me of when he goes, if it's your job, fucking do it properly. It was the night before Albert Park 10K and we're watching the AFL and a guy misses a goal. Yeah. He's like, it's your fucking job to just kick the ball straight.
Oh, don't get me started on that shit. It's like hitting free throws in the NBA. Blokes shooting 70%, they're getting paid like $20 million a fucking year. Hit a free throw.
What are your predictors at the moment, Brady?
No, my watch is like two rooms away. I can run and get it. Do you want me to? Or are you happy just to keep going?
That's all right.
I think
it's all right. Yeah. I'm happy to. My watch has got me faster than Moose at the moment, so I'll take that.
You're winning. What 15, I'll do...
15.29, 5K, it's got me.
If you're listening out there, take a photo of your predictor, put it on Instagram story, tag us in there, and we'll see how they all match up. I'll do the same with mine when I get back to the house and find it. Good Moose on the loose, though. What's coming up? Run the Bridge this week. Going to be a massive, massive race down there in Hobart. Talking to Richard Welsh yesterday, live stream, 7:15 a.m. Sunday morning. If you're not out on your long run, you'll be able to tune in and watch that. Men's race, probably deeper than the women's. Brett Robinson, Liam Adams, Ryan Gregson, Jack Bruce, this week's interview. Kieran Tall, Adrian Potter, Doug Hammerlock, Nick Earl, Jack Colreevy, Anthony Aloisi makes up the men's field. In the women's, Millie Clark, Casey Wood, Tara Palm, Andrea Sekafan, Karina Fife, Carly Thackeray, Miriam Dowie. Some big names there, boys. Who you got in that men's race? It's going to be quite interesting.
I got Robbo.
I got Robbo. Like, you can't come off a fucking Australian record in the half marathon and not be the favourite, surely.
Mm. Especially over that 10K distance where he's got the strength of that half, but, you know, he's still obviously a quality 5K runner. So and
was got, good here last year.
Yeah, he's got the speed at the end if he needs to kick. I guess, you know, obviously up against Ryan Gregson, and we sort of spoke about this off air that, you know, Ryan, you don't see him on the roads that often. He's run some good road races, you know, a few years back, and he's sort of at the crossroads, I suppose. You know, like he's not top dog of the squad anymore, and you know, if he has some really good road races, this could be like a new sort of a new area for him to pursue over the next few years.
Mm. Women's race, who do you think? Andrea Sekafan, she ran an awesome half over there as well. She's going to be hard to beat, isn't she?
She's the pick there for sure.
She's the pick. Yeah, check those streams if you want to see those Sunday morning. Hey, what else is coming up? I jumped the gun last week and said we had Road to London coming out this Wednesday. Got me weeks wrong. It's next Wednesday to be 9 weeks before London, 1 week after for that 10-week series on Patreon Extra Elite. So if you signed up for that and waiting for it, just hold up a week. Everyone's pretty excited in that little messenger group, aren't they, Brad? Bit of banter going around already. Some good vibes.
Should be fun. So we'll alternate weeks of hosting it, I believe.
Yeah, you and I. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah. I think so.
Moose too busy to do any of that stuff?
Oh, what? I didn't know about this fucking message group, hey?
Left you off the message group.
I think I blocked Nick Earl from all social media, so maybe I didn't get in that way.
It's in your message requests or whatever those things are when you like have to approve them to come through. Yeah, no, it's good. Ali's looking forward to being on there without Sinead. Nick's looking forward to it. Joel Tobin White's looking forward to having people commenting about how little Casey runs every week. So that'd be good. Anything else happening in your life, boys? Brad, what are you doing?
Pretty quiet. I think we're going car shopping actually over the weekend. Yeah, second kid on the way, bigger car required.
Yeah, those car seats take up a bit of space.
What are you going for, Range Rover?
I don't know. I'm letting Viv. I hate cars. I'm letting Viv basically
Beamer?
Do most of it. Not a Beamer, no. I think, what are we looking at, Viv? Mitsubishi Outlander or something? Yeah.
What colour?
So, don't know.
Ask Viv. What colour she thinking?
What colour, Viv? She's not fast. She just wants a new car.
Brand new. Things are going well in the croaky household, Moose.
I thought you stopped working.
No, well, it's probably not going to be brand new, but think about I'm still working. You should get still
a Kia,
teaching.
Get a Kia, Brad. Call me mate from Echuca Kia. We'll be able to hook you up with something.
Yeah, will they deliver it?
Yeah, probably. Probably just pick it up from the Kia dealership up there.
All right, I'll let Viv know.
We'll get off air and start talking business. Moose, what are you doing?
For this week?
Yeah, just like in your life. What's coming up?
I'm going to go to Geelong this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, actually, putting tables out.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah, I'm in the old Geelong Cross Country Facebook group still.
Oh, yeah. Someone I don't post in there very often. Yeah, no, I don't go down too well in that group. Lots of blokes give me shit in there, so I tend to reserve my postings. hoping someone puts their hand up to ride with me on a bike. No one has yet. Going to get more personal.
What's a big workout? What's coming?
Oh, long tempo. You've done them before. What did you do the other week? 26K at something?
28 at 325.
Yeah, I probably did 29 at 324.
Actually, I did average 324. That was just, you wrote 325 and I just got to go 1 second under for my ego.
That works. Confidence is high.
I think your 95% marathon pace is a bit different than mine, though. You'll probably go under about 315.
No, well, my goal, like the workout for me is do a little jog warm up and then run 26K at 320s, so around that.
Ooh, by yourself?
Well, yeah, unless someone rocks up with a bike.
Yeah, that's good.
All actually, that's not an open invitation to rock up with a bike.
This week's interview, Jack Bruce caught up with him last Friday, I think it was, fresh off the Melbourne Track Classic. He talks about this race. Actually, he's in that field for, where's he racing? Hobart, Run the Bridge, talks about who he's up against there. So a bit of current stuff in this one. Hope you enjoy it. Plenty of stuff in there. See you later, boys. We're done for another week.
See you guys.
Damn. See ya.
All right, Moose and I are here to talk about this week's sponsor, the O'Keefe Challenge. A fun run both of us have done, Moose. Remember that? A few years ago, you and I did it last year.
The year before, surely.
2 years ago did you do it? Yeah, I definitely did it last year. I'm not sure when you did it, but here we are. We're here to talk about that. It's good they sponsored the show again because they sponsored us like way back in the early days. So we really appreciate the support of the O'Keefe Challenge. This race is coming up on Sunday, the 19th of April. 2020, which is the weekend after Easter. So eat all your chocolate and then you can burn it off the following weekend. It's a race that starts in Bendigo and finishes in Heathcote for the marathon. It's a point-to-point race, so the half marathon starts 21k out of Heathcote and then you finish in Heathcote. And there's also a 10k, a 5k and a kids event. It's on a rail trail the whole way, so nice surface. It kind of slowly goes uphill. I think there's probably one major hill in the marathon, but other than that, there's no real steep hills. It just gradually climbs over the 42k distance. So if you're around central Victoria or want to travel to that area on Easter weekend, this is the race for you. What else can you tell me, Moose, about the Ekenden Relay?
Yeah, well, Ekenden, that's that marathon distance relay. Unique and popular feature in this event, 7 team members cover the marathon distance together. Shortest leg is around 3k, longest is 11. So super accessible for all types and encourage like your non-running mates. So you put a team in from work or something and someone's not really making 5K, well, they can do a 3K leg. The entry is just $25 per runner, so really cheap as well.
Yeah, good team building stuff. You know Andy Buchanan put a team in for that last year and won the whole thing, his team? Pretty competitive as well.
The first race he's ever won?
Probably. Past winners of this event, like it's picked up some big names over the years. Last year, Virginia Maloney, who's now Virginia McCormick. She actually won the race and set a course record in the women's marathon. A bit of a connection to Bendigo there, Jin. Jamie the Beast Cook has also won it, I think, two or three times. Set the course record as well last year, I think. And Big Moose, you've won it as well. I've won the half marathon, so it's a good event to get to and do. Tell me about some prizes, Moose. A bit of cash money on the line.
Yeah, well, this is what teased Watto and I up to the race in the first place.
That's
and
then right.
Enjoyed it. So $250 cash for first in the marathon, $150 for second, $75 for third, and $150 for first place in the half, $75 second, $25 for third. Men and women receive equal prize money. Well, yeah, that's no question. And finisher medals for everyone for some bling.
I know last year as well, you got these cool hampers after the race as well, and bottles of wine and craft beer. I know the two boys that come third and second, they were enjoying their beers after the race, which they didn't mention there, but it's definitely something to go and try pick up as well. Their fundraising cause this year is for the Heathcote Dementia Village Project, which raises funds for the Heathcote Dementia Village Project, obviously, which promises to be a game changer in the way they look after and care for people living with dementia. And finally, Moose, they also support some community groups. Tell me a bit about those.
Yeah, well, they man the aid station. So that's what I love about smaller events like this, is every time you go through an aid station, it's normally a community group that are doing it. So they're just as they're all stoked to be out there, dress up, cheer the runners on. Local groups, they get a small donation for their services there. So keeping the funds within the town. Post-race, runners pick the most encouraging group to get the to win a prize for those for the aid station. So yeah, get on.
That's pretty cool. So if you're running the course and notice like people at checkpoint, you know, 20k were making the most noise, you tell them on the form afterwards, and then they win a prize. That's good. Final details, you can sign up at theokeefe.com.au. if you're an Inside Running podcast listener, you can use the code OKCIRP10 to get 10% off your discounted entry. That doesn't include the Eckerton Relay, just the individual entries, and that's a maximum of the first 50 listeners to use that code. So thanks to the O'Keefe Challenge for supporting the Inside Running podcast.
Yep, good on you guys. Enjoy your race out there.
All right, Jack Bruce, welcome to the podcast, the Inside Running podcast. Thanks for giving up some time for us this week to be at the interview.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Friday, we're recording this. What does Friday look like in the life of Jack Bruce?
Pretty much just an hour easy run in the morning, and then that's all there is on the training side of things. Like, might do a bit of rehab just because I haven't got a double run, but it's probably the easiest day of the week. Just one easy run by only an hour, so because I do doubles Monday through Thursday. So I don't have to hit really high numbers of mileage or anything. So yeah, I always block out Friday. It's just one easy run just to kind of make sure I'm all good from everything I've been doing in the week and make sure I'm not overdoing it.
Yeah, I'm sure before like a big weekend, and like give us some context. What does easy look like though? Pace, how many Ks would you get in the hour?
If I'm running by myself, I'll usually hit somewhere between, like, really depends. Like, sometimes I've hit by myself, I've gone, you know, close to 4 minute pace, and that feels the same as on another day I'm running close to 4:20 pace. It really just depends, like, where I'm running, like, how I'm feeling, if the weather's shit or not, like, those kind of things. But anywhere in that range is really, like, an easy run for me. Sometimes I've run a bit slower or quicker depending who I've run on, but like to be honest, I don't really keep an eye on it that much. I just kind of run just really think that's all I really think about it. Like, I don't really think about hitting a pace or anything like that. I'm not really I'm not too over analytical on those kind of things. So yeah, but anywhere, most of the time it's anywhere probably like 4 minute pace, 4:20 pace. So there's a bit of variance there.
I think something's in that though, just going on what your body's like feeling like on the day and not worrying about hitting splits on your recovery days.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's the most simple thing to do is just go out, like, you know, an easy run, just go out and run for a certain amount of time. There's not really much, there's no more thought to it than that. So, yeah, and I don't think there's no real, I don't really think there's any, there's a very strong correlation between running faster on easy days and, or running faster, sorry, on easy days, than running slower, and how that correlates to performance. Some people just run a bit quicker than others, but I probably lie somewhere in the middle of where most people, like the pace of where most runners similar in or around my ability or better run on their easy runs. So I'm probably around the median somewhere.
Yeah. And before we get too much into your story, I want to pick your brains on last Thursday night. It was the Melbourne Track Classic, Australian 5K Championships, kind of the Olympic qualifiers as well, if you want to look at it that way, with that first spot, and if you get the time, locking you in. And you were fifth in that race in 13:56. How did you find it out there? A bit choppy, a bit slow early, and then got wound up?
Yeah, I mean, we were pretty slow for the first K. It was like, I think I saw the clock go 3:01 when I went through, and I was in the middle of the pack somewhere. So, yeah, it was pretty slow. I wasn't happy with my race. I was, yeah, pretty pissed off about it. But I think the main thing was I didn't, there was a, when Stewie and Smack made the move at 5 laps to go, I didn't respond to it. And, you know, like 100 meters later, I reacted late. And, but, you know, within the space of 100 meters, they were already a fair bit ahead. And so that was kind of, I remember seeing that and just thinking, like, oh, fuck, that's the race gone almost, like right there. And so, kind of led the chase. Well, I led the chase pack, which I remember was like Rambo and Rory Hunter behind me. And then I would have been leading them about three and a bit laps of the last 2K. Getting a bit buffeted in that wind in the back, but, I just didn't quite have it the last lap or so. But, so no, it was a disappointing performance for me, but, you know, just like, well, I'm not really taking much more from it than that. You know, it's, you have bad performances, but you always try, and the key is try to learn from them. You know, it's like, if you have a bad race and you don't learn anything from it, then, well, you're not really growing or getting better as an athlete. So, you know, I'm just trying to, I think the big takeaway for me for that one is just, like, I'm training well and fit. Because I've been doing some good training over the last couple of months, especially after Zatopek, but I'm just not. I just got to learn to be a bit more decisive and a bit better at just getting better at racing overall, I guess. But and you know, I'm not from a race standpoint, not quite where I want to be yet. But there's still a lot of time. There's still a good amount of time to go in this season, and still got a lot of big things in the next couple of months that I'll be doing. So. So it was a disappointing performance, but you know, take what you need from it, learn from it, and just use it as a bit of fuel and a bit of fire to motivate me and keep pushing.
Yeah, well put. Yeah. And I was watching some of your NCAA races today, and when I was watching the 2017 5K where you were second, like absolutely smashed it and come home like a steam train there, it kind of did remind me a bit of the Melbourne Track Classic last Thursday night, where you kind of, it was slow and it picked up, and your result kind of turned out a completely different way. So tactically, you've obviously got it there, but you just got to be decisive and making those moves at the right time.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And that NCAA final was, well, I mean, we talk about slow. I remember that. I think we ran some 79s in that race.
Yeah.
So we were going, we went nearly. I mean, the difference between the winning of that race and what Stewie ran is almost a minute. So it was a fair bit slower. But the principle is the same. You're right. Mm. You know. I've been out, like, had a few injuries last year, and so I've been out of racing, especially on the track, for a little while. So I guess got to get used to that again. Mostly what I did last year was on the road, and so. But yeah, it's just, yeah, like, for now, it's just, I guess it's just all part of the learning, and you know, just taking each race as it comes. And I feel like I'm, you know, I do feel like I'm learning, like, learning a lot as I go, especially, you know, coming, like, especially since I've come out of college and into this new, like, new environment, and, you know, trying to race at a higher level. So it's a good experience, but I'm still, like, I've still got a lot to learn. Mm. And, yeah, that's really all I can say on that at the moment. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go through PBs, mate. Hopefully I've got them right, but the listeners will just get a bit of an understanding of your range. 152 for 800, is that correct?
Yeah. God, I can't remember how long ago that's been from, but I think that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, 339 for the 1500.
Yep.
404 for outdoor mile, 402 for indoor mile.
I've run four flat, but it was at, I guess, some meets in college, like, they don't get picked up by the, whatever the, like, the data collector thing at the IAAF uses for meets. Like, it doesn't pick up all of them. But yeah. I have run four flat.
Oh, we'll take that one. That's more impressive than 401, or 402 or 404.
Yeah, well, you know, I've still got a break four, and that's something I hopefully I can do this year.
Yeah,
but,
true. Yeah. 359 would look a whole lot better than four dead as well. Yeah. 803 for outdoor 3K and 754 for indoor?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the big one at Peyton Jordan, 1328 for 5K?
Yep.
And 2815, 2019 Zatopek. Would that be right? After you come third, after doing that 2 years in a row?
Yeah, that's correct.
Pretty good list of PBs. Do you, is there a favourite one or a standout that you're kind of really stoked with?
Still the 5K, I think, is my, that's probably one of the smooth, like, the just kind of, like, the most smooth and free-flowing races I've ever had. Like kind of, you know, that race, you have the race you have where sort of everything clicks and it goes really well. So that was that one. I still haven't done, I've only done two 10Ks in my life. So it's been two Zatopeks. But I never did them in college, which, looking back, I wish I had a crack at one of them. I'd done one at some stage, but, yeah, for the moment, the 5K is still, that 5K PB is still probably, I'm still probably the one that I sort of wear as a, well, it's probably the one that I'm still the most proud of at the moment, but I've really enjoyed the two 10Ks I've done. So, you know, and hopefully this year I'll have a different opinion on what my best PB is.
Yeah, lower it a bit. And I was really keen to get you on the podcast because your story is kind of pretty intriguing. I know, like, two of the three of us on this podcast are based in Victoria, and sometimes we're a bit Victorian-centric down here and only worrying about what's going on in Victoria. But we kind of didn't know much about you until you did come out in that Zatopek in 2018 and get third spot. And I think I remember talking to both the boys that night thinking, like, who's this Jack Bruce guy? Like, where's he come from? What's his story? And until you dig into, like, your history and kind of obviously from Brisbane originally and then went over to college at the end of 2014, there's more to you than obviously a lot of the Australian public know.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a pretty, I wasn't really that good when I came, like, before I went to college. So I wasn't, you know, I didn't even make a state championship as, like, in high school until 10th grade or something like that. And so I wasn't really, yeah, I wasn't a big hitter by any means before I left for college. I think the best I ever did was, I think I got fourth in the 2013 Australian Juniors 1500. And I think I was behind, Zach Patterson, Jack Stapleton and Chad Miller. I think that's what it was, but that was probably the best I ever did. But yeah, I went to college and, it was, like, for me, it was instrumental to my development, I guess, because I, like, you know, it's like from once, like, from the training standpoint, you know, the quality of what I was doing before I went to college was not, like, you know, compared to what I did, what I started doing and what I did throughout my time there was like a huge step up. And I mean, you know, it was a, it took a bit of time to get used to. I remember I did break my foot after one semester over there. I ran really well in first cross country season, at Arkansas over there. But I remember I got a stress fracture in my foot. So there was a bit of time. It took a bit of time for me to properly get used to everything. But by the time I finished, my time there, I was, I just absorbed about 4 years of really good, like for me at the time, it was really good quality training. I mean, I think the stuff I'm doing now with Melbourne Track, you know, with Nick and the rest of Melbourne Track Club is, I'm running more volume and more, and like more higher quality sessions. But for the time, the stuff I was doing in college was like the same sort of step up, I guess from college to now. And so I just had 4 years of really, of stuff I'd never done before. And so it just like, it propelled me much further than I at the time probably ever thought I could be as a runner. So, like I remember I think it was 2016. Yeah, it was 2016. So my PB for the 1500 was 3:50, and I'd had that since year 12.
Yeah, because so you were you were like an 8:15 runner before you left, weren't you? Like you were just jumping on the track, occasional 3Ks up there in Brisbane, Queensland?
Yeah, a couple. I might have done like one or two, I think. Not very many, but I learned that I was a pretty, like I was, I figured out that I was going to, I did my first 5K, and the first 5K I ever did, I ran 13:54. So I think I figured out pretty quickly that, okay, maybe I'm actually a distance runner, not an 8:15 guy. I first went there and I saw some of the 800 guys, and you know, you realize pretty quickly that to be a good 800 runner, you know, those guys that are running it and they're running 145, 144, which like the top guys in college are, you know, they're pretty big, like muscly guys who can, you know, they can run a 400 in 46, 45 at that. They can go through 400 of an 800 in 50, 49 seconds and make it look like a piece of cake.
Yeah, so, their sprint is doing two laps in a way.
Yeah, exactly. So I figured out pretty quickly that I was more of a longer distance runner. Figured that out pretty quickly. And then, 2016, I remember I was, like, yeah, I'd run 3:50 in the 15, and then I raced 1500 at Azusa Pacific University, which is where my PB's from, but this was 2 years prior to this. And I ran 3:41, and that was a 9-second PB at the time. So
massive.
Just to illustrate how much of an effect, like going from one level of training to a completely different level of training, and the effect that had, I think partly because I just was so, I was very underdeveloped and just hadn't really done any proper hard work. And so when I just started doing, which again, for me at the time was, you know, like proper, like a relative proper hard work, it just had, I just made huge inroads on some of my PBs. So,
yeah. That's what I kind of like about your story though. Like, I found a result today from 2012 at the under 20 3K at Zatopek, and you finished in second last spot in 23rd. And you're kind of saying how you weren't doing a lot of training then. You probably weren't, you know, doing much longer stuff for a 3K. You get absolutely smoked by 22 other juniors in your age group. But then you come back and finish third at the open 10K Zatopek in 2018 and 2019. And a lot of those guys in front of you are rather behind you, or they've burnt out or dropped out of the sport.
Yeah, it's crazy how things work out like that sometimes, because I know for sure, I mean, you know, well, I've always really hated losing, and I sort of beat myself up a fair bit about it when I don't have a good race or whatever. But yeah, I mean, remember, like as a junior, if I had, you know, I remember that race. It was just, yeah, I felt pretty useless. It was like, you know, because I sort of considered myself an okay runner, but yeah, I got toweled up pretty bad. So
that was a lot of freaks in that age group, though. Like, to your defense, there was a lot of talented guys getting around.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I grew up racing like Pat Tin and all through high school. So he and I were in the same age group, but we used to race each other at Queensland, like Queensland State Champs and stuff. So, and he went to college. He went to college a little before me. So it's kind of interesting. Like, I guess us two are probably, you know, stuck with it and sort of risen through the ranks of the sport, but albeit he's risen through a lot more ranks than I have. But yeah, it's like, he's been a star the whole time, but I started from, and I was, well, pretty rubbish to start with, but I've sort of come through pretty nicely. So yeah, it goes to show that, you know, even at those age groups, like, you can be good then, but it does not, it has no real indication that whether, it really doesn't say whether you're going to be good when you're older or not. Because some people just, like, some people get onto good training later or just develop later or whatever it is, and they just really come through later on.
Yeah.
And then the opposite can happen too. So, but luckily I was one of those who, yeah, like, it caught on a bit later for me, and I'm doing all right now. So yeah, pretty happy with, I'm happy with that turned out.
Yeah, well, Luke Matthews was in 7th, Morgan McDonald was in 10th, Stewie McSwain was in 15th. So a few good names there that have gone on to make it well as open athletes. So then talk me through, like, what's the process to go to Arkansas, like a pretty prestigious program, pretty, I can imagine it'd be pretty hard to kind of get into a university like that. How did that work for you?
So I didn't go to Arkansas initially. So what, and this is a bit of a funny story, actually. So I went to a smaller Division I school to start with. It was called the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. And it's a Division I school, but it's a tiny sort of shit-kicker program. But the thing was, I didn't know anything about, you know, colleges, which schools were good or anything at the time. I was so very, like, naive to all of it. And my only thought at the time was, like, well, I'm not really doing as well as I want to be. And that avenue's always been there, like, been there to want to give it a crack in my mind. And so I was like, and you know, I was only at 350, 1500 meter run. That was probably the best thing I had to my name at that point. So that doesn't really give you a look in it anyway good. So, but I had the University of Arkansas at Little Rock gave me offered me a full ride. But the thing was, I didn't know that there was a difference between, like, you know, there was like good programs and bad programs. I was just kind of looking, just opportunity chasing and kind of grabbing at anything I could reach for.
Yeah, get the ticket.
Well, just to give me a bit of a lifeline and a fresh start almost, because I did need a change, to change up something of what I was doing. But found it pretty quickly that, you know, the program I went to wasn't for me. Like, they don't, you know, it's a very small university. And the thing is, you know, with the big universities over there, they have, like, their athletic programs. And it's like, when I say athletic programs, I mean, like, just think of all sports. Mm-hmm. You know, the big universities make, like truckloads of money. And so that filters down through all sports. And so, you know, you go to a bigger university, you're looked after a lot better. But the university I first went to was not one of those big schools, and it was just, you know, you weren't really looked after very well. I don't know, just a lot about it wasn't what I thought it would be, and like, I found that out pretty quickly. And so,
what do you mean though? Like, you mean like the training program or the team culture or the facilities? Like, what exactly?
Kind of all of it, like the. So, you know, you go to a big school, you get boatloads of gear and shoes whenever you want, more or less. But I think I got like 2 pairs of shoes a year, maybe. Like, you know, coaching stuff wasn't that great. And like, I didn't really improve or anything. So, and overall just found myself not really happy. So that was my first year over there. That was end of 2014 to the middle of 2015. And so after a year, I just was like, well, sod this. I'm not going to stay here and make myself unhappy. But I wasn't done. I didn't want to be done with college. I wanted to still give it a crack. And so I emailed a few coaches, and one of them was the head coach at Arkansas, whose guy's name is Chris Bucknam. And so I messaged Buck, and I said, I was sort of introduced myself and whatnot, told my PBs. And so I went on a visit, checked it out, but I wasn't good enough to really be offered a scholarship or anything. So I actually just went, they call them walk-ons over there. So, which just means that, like, you're on the team, but you're not on scholarship or anything. So I was, I started out at Arkansas as a walk-on. And so, I didn't go as like this sort of star-studded athlete or anything. I was just another number, really. But, within a year, like, and, you know, when I went there, like, it was just totally different. Like, the training was really at another level. We looked after really well. And I was just a lot happier. And so I started getting really good results. So my first semester in cross country, I got 23rd at the NCAA championships. Broke my foot, but and then came back that outdoor track season in the end of March through to June. I ran 3:41 in the 15, 13:54 in the 5K. So within a year, I earned a scholarship when I was there. So that's just kind of the short story of that. But I guess the moral of that, the takeaway from that is like, I took a few gambles on myself, but it paid off. So
Yeah. Great thing to do, though. And, like, even just having the guts to leave one program when it's not going all right and kind of pay your own way or whatever, however that walk-on stuff works, to try and prove yourself to earn that scholarship must be pretty rewarding.
Yeah, well, I don't know that many people would do it. I never really heard of anyone doing it, and, like, other people had taught, like, because I got advice from a few different people before I left and then went to Arkansas, and everyone told me not to do it, it's like too risky, blah blah blah, but I was just kind of like, well, I'm not going to get it done where I'm in my current situation, so I've got to give this a go. So I took a lot of gambles on myself, but they paid off.
The coaches and the recruiters must have loved it, like 12 months on when you're starting to dominate and like getting them heaps of points and those kind of things.
Oh, well, yeah, they loved it because it was free.
Yeah.
It didn't cost them anything. Yeah. So, they absolutely loved it.
Didn't have to spend any time trying to find you. You just rocked up.
Pretty much, yeah.
And what were you studying over there?
So I did finance and marketing.
Yep.
Yeah, so, and started a law degree up at QUT. Not doing it this semester, just to try and focus on making the team, but yeah, so I'm doing law back here now. But I did, finance and marketing when I was over at college.
Yeah, and like the training program when you were there and started to see these massive improvements, like I know it's hard to do like a standard Monday to Sunday, but like, can you remember much about what the programming looked like?
I can give you a good sort of general view on it. Yeah. So it's pretty standard of like how a lot of American coaches and American training is done, which is like two sessions a week, and then your long runs a lot harder. So I think we would do, so in cross country season, which was they call it the fall semester, which is basically just August through November. So it would be like the same as second semester of university here, but we did like five different sessions, I remember, I think, which were, and like we did two of them in 1 week and then usually a harder long run. So what were they? Okay, like 1K repeats, mile repeats, mile and a half repeats, a fartlek session, which was where you go like, you go a minute hard, a minute easy, then 30 on, 30 off, 30 on, 30 off. And then you start that again when you hit the next mile mark. So at the end of the 2:30 seconds, you might have like another 40. I think we usually ended up having like 40 seconds and then we'd go into it again. And then like a threshold run, or tempo runs, they called it. But yeah, so that was like during the cross country season. That was a lot of our, like, I guess, just very, very like core conditioning work that we did. But yeah, we did two sessions a week and then, you know, a hard long run, which most, I got up to doing about 26K. I think the, like, usually, like, but I started off probably doing like 18 or 19K and then built up to doing 26 by the end. But the thing was, like, you know, the American way, you do pretty hard long runs. So I remember, just before I came back, I remember I did a long run where the average pace was like 3:40.
Okay? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like, not mucking around.
You book it, you hammer it. But I mean, like, most of the time, if you're doing a hard long run, you find a solid deck that has got not many hills in it, so you can hit that. So.
And would you take a couple of K to obviously work into that and then lock in at, say, 3:30, so your average comes out at 3:40, but you spend a lot of time under that pace?
Yeah, more or less. So, yeah, we had a big group, and I remember we had some Kenyans from time to time who, you know, could just, like, they're kind of like Tesla cars. They could just go from naught to fucking really fast really quickly, so... Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot of warming up, but a little bit. But yeah, like, we, once, you know, you just get into the pace and then you stay there. So yeah, I remember the first long run I did when I got, like, at Arkansas was, I just thought I was being murdered. It was, yeah, it was so quick. But yeah, it's just that it's pretty different. A lot of it's different to what I'm doing now. And so I've had to get used to doing like three sessions a week, and like generally the runs are a bit like the rest of the runs in and around sessions are easier, but you know, I just look at it, it's just a different way of skinning a cat, so to speak. Like, for a lot of people, you know, it works for a lot of people, it doesn't work for some people. Yeah.
Did you struggle when you came back with MTC to back up for like the three workouts a week?
Yes. But when I first started MTC training was at Falls Creek, and I'd never really done altitude training before. And I mean, you know, I've gone to Falls a couple of times, like twice now, and Falls isn't too bad now. Like, I'm pretty used to it. But I remember the first time I went there, it was just new training, you know, group environment with a lot of people I didn't really know. So I was, you know, trying to find your place in new social settings. So that's a bit difficult as well. And then harder training that I hadn't done before, all up at altitude. So yeah, you ask anyone from the group, my first camp with the group was I wasn't doing a whole lot. Like, I was pretty rubbish. But over time I've gotten used to it. And so I can do pretty good training now. Like, I'm still not Brett or Stewie, not by any means. Like, they have, if you watch those guys do thresholds at Caulfield, you might turn up one day thinking you're feeling pretty good and you're going to have a good session, but then you see them about 200 meters ahead of you just floating along and you're like, yeah, okay, I know my place. So yeah. But I've gotten used to it now, and I'm used to it, and I can do it week after week not easily, but I can hit everything pretty well, so that's good.
Yeah, and like the decision to come home, like, I know Mike Powell was Arkansas, wasn't he? And he's still over there now. Like, did you think about staying?
So Mike is a high school coach at Bentonville High School, and so Bentonville is where the University of Arkansas is in a town called Fayetteville, which is in the northwest Arkansas area. Which is like, which encompasses a few towns. And so where Mike is a town called Bentonville, which is actually where Walmart is headquartered. Fun fact, but so he's a high school. He's like the cross country coach. I think he's a teacher as well. I'm not sure though. He's like the, but yeah, he's like the high school coach of the Bentonville High School cross country team. So he's still over there. Yeah, and he does a bit of work now with sort of liaising with AA and the rest of all the kids that are over in college now. So, but he's still over there. But the decision to come home was kind of, I don't know. When I finished, I had this image in my head that I would stay over there and keep doing stuff. But, it just turned out that that really wasn't going to be something that would suit me. And coming home and training with, you know, Melbourne Track Club has been like, I'm really glad I did decide to do that, and that, you know, the group's been really welcoming and Nick's happy to have me there. So, cause it's been, yeah, I've really enjoyed it, and I have made a lot of, inroads on my, development going forward, and I feel like I'm getting fitter and stronger, which, you know, I hope will translate to some good results coming up.
Yeah, and how's that look? Yeah. Like, do you shoot Nick an email and say, these are my PBs, this is what I've been doing over in the States, have you got room for me? Or, you know, do you make that decision to move to Melbourne or do correspondence? Was that even an option?
So I think I emailed Nick in 2017. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. This is a while ago now. Yeah, I think the first email I sent him was in like 2017. And so, yeah, it was basically like the similar email to what I sent to, to Coach Buck at Arkansas, actually. In the sense that, you know, hey, this is me, these are my PBs, blah, 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 like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Give me an opportunity kind of thing and I'll show you.
Not as direct as that, but I think I said something like, you've had a lot of success as a coach with all the athletes that you look after. And, you know, I think I'd be a great asset to the group environment you have, something like that. So yeah, a formal way of asking, of seeing if there was an opportunity to do that. Yes. So, and then it turned out that there was. So I'm very lucky that I've been able to do that. It's pretty hard to, you know, I know Jeff Holm and Morgan are in a position where they're able to stay over there and, you know, they have, you know, nice contracts and stuff to support themselves. That's, you know, it's not a reality for everyone and it wasn't a reality for me. So I do feel pretty lucky that I have found a new home and a new environment, new group to get the most out of myself with, because it is a bit scary when you come out, like when you leave college, it's hard to transition from an environment where everything is pretty sheltered and you get treated really well to all of a sudden you're out on your own and you feel very exposed and kind of, I did lose my way a little bit running wise. But you know, I'm back on track and found a new home and a new environment again, which I'm really happy for. So,
yeah. Yeah, and that's the US kind of system in a way, isn't it? Like, unless you're super good and roll straight into a contract, you kind of just join the workforce and running's kind of behind you.
Yeah, for sure. It's there is a bit of a ground where, like, there are a few groups that, like, but I mean, yeah, there's a few, like, I guess, semi-professional groups, you could call it. Because if you're not, you know, if you don't go to like one of the, if you don't go to one of like, you know, the big training groups or whatever, it's either like, if you're good enough and you have a contract, you can kind of make it, like, you know, and you have a good coaching system and all that kind of stuff, you can sort of make your own way. But it is pretty tough over, like, and you find that out pretty quickly. But the thing is, like, you know, I wasn't really prepared for how tough it was really going to be. but it's something I found out pretty quickly. But it's, you know, it's the sport in general. The sport's pretty tough. It's very brutal and, yeah, really rewarding some days, but just brutally humbling on other days. So it is sort of reflective of the sport overall.
Yeah. But being in that team must help so much as well. Like being a Razorback over there and now coming back to train with MTC and like being amongst some of the, well, pretty much the best runners in Australia at the moment.
Yeah, it's definitely something that is, I think, is very much overlooked, but maybe taken for granted by some, you know, some people. So, like, I've definitely found with me that being in a group environment and being like in a having a really good training group, not necessarily for the training you're doing, but just, you know, being comfortable, being happy in a big group environment with a group of people doing the same thing you're doing and having the same or similar goals to you have, it brings so much more out of yourself. And, you know, there's a saying I like, which is like, you know, a rising tide raises all ships. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I definitely think with the Melbourne Track Club, it's, you know, we all have pretty high expectations. Nick has high expectations of us. And, you know, we're held to that standard. So we're all sort of raised up as a group together. And so that's something I really gravitate towards and get around. And that's, it's similar to how it was in college. And so it's definitely something that I think is a really integral part and should be an integral part of anyone's training. So, you know, whatever you do, like wherever you are, with running, you know, if you have a great setup and a great group around you, then, you know, you can be set up to get the most out of yourself. And that's what I found with Melbourne Track Club, for sure.
For sure. And do you have like a training partner who's a bit of a favourite or a bit of a preference or someone that you, you know, seem to be going head to head with pretty often in reps or threshies?
So I would say probably Geordie and Dave. I would say, like, so Geordie, Dave and myself we were up at Falls in November, a month before Zatopek, and we were doing pretty much, like, we're doing, you know, all the sessions pretty much together, and we had a good little thing going. And then I raced Geordie at Burnie and
kept stealing prize money off you.
I'm reminded of that a fair bit. I'd say those two are probably the two that I've, in terms of training, like I can sort of gauge off a fair bit. But that's mostly because I've spent the most amount of time around them. The thing is, I'm still pretty new to the group. Like most people there have been there for a while, whereas I'm much more of a newcomer. So I'm still, I found my place, but I'm still, yeah, like I don't, it's, I guess it's the same as when you've been friends with someone for a long time versus a short time. You're still, yeah, there's still a fair, like, I'd say ask me that question again in another year and I can give you a much better answer, but because I just haven't spent a whole lot of time around the whole group. But definitely a few that I have. Yeah,
and you said before, like, the expectations are high, and that's probably something for the success, but is there anything else you've noticed, like being new to the group, that's kind of stood out to why that success constantly comes out of that training group?
To be honest, not really. I think it's just that the success that the group has is, it's not, you know, it's really just, I honestly think you could put it all under the being held to a standard, and then more or less everyone in the group just adheres to that standard. I don't really think that there's not too much that goes towards their success, except, but it's just the most important thing. It's the, it's having the right attitude. It's being disciplined. It's doing the training, you know, doing it well. So it's just really the simple, it's just a lot of the simple things are done really well at, you know, at MTC. And I think, you know, if you nail all those, just the core components, then pretty much everything tends to take care of itself.
Mm, over a period of time, string them together as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's just do all the basics and fundamentals really, like, really well. Just do it over a long period of time, and boom, you got your results. So, and I guess probably the best example of that is probably Stewie. Like, you know, what he's done over the past 4 years, just, you know, being in that environment under Nick's guidance is, well, and you see his results now. So I think that's probably honestly the best testament to it.
Yeah, and then you can start throwing Jack Rayner in there, and Brett Robinson, yeah, like, his half marathon, like, 2 weeks ago. It's,
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could throw so many names in there. It's just being a testament to that, and that's probably the best. Yeah, like I said, it's definitely the best. Yeah, that's just, they're the best examples of just, I guess, that philosophy.
Yeah, and for someone who grew up in Brisbane, you find it pretty cold in the winter in Melbourne, or you go overseas?
I mean, I get teased about that a lot, but then when it's hot, I'm just, you know, and everyone's complaining about how hot it is, I'm just like,
normal.
I always give it back a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Brisbane's, you know, somewhat flooded at the moment, and it's pretty hot, so I'm enjoying the weather down here a bit more, but, yeah, I mean, it got cold over, you know, I experienced a bit of cold weather over in America that you wouldn't really have here. So, yes, but not to the point of where I'm suffering from it or anything. So,
yeah,
but I do notice it.
And will we see you on the roads? Like, you had a pretty good campaign there where you won Bridge to Brisbane in 28:41, then you went and won the Sunshine Coast 10K, and then the City to Bay 34:56 against a pretty good field that day, and third at that Burnie 10, which you were talking about, where there was all you guys coming across the line together. So road racing, half marathon, kind of see you there in the future?
For half marathon, I really don't know. Probably yes, but I don't know when I'll do one. I don't think, it won't be this year, put it that way. I don't think it'll be this year. I think I was actually, someone told me my name was actually down on the to run the Melbourne half marathon at the Melbourne Marathon Festival, but I only, like, apparently my name was down to do it. I guess Nick put my name in a while ago just in case or whatever, but yeah, no, I don't know. I don't think I'll be doing a half marathon anytime soon, but on the roads, yes, I'm doing Run the Bridge on the 23rd, so I'll get to line up against Brett, so that'll be
Liam Adams and Ryan Gregson.
Yeah. Grego just got put in the field, actually. Yeah, so that'll be fun. But I've done pretty well on the 10K on the road, so I think as long as I don't do what I did at Burnie and lead the whole race until the last 400 metres, and especially into a headwind, I should be fine. But...
And it was pretty similar at Noosa Bolt, wasn't it? Like, you spent a lot of time leading that and then kind of just outkicked at the end. Like, what do you do? Like, these 1,500 metre boys, like, they're just impossible to outkick.
Yeah. Noosa, I was off. Yeah, I mean, Noosa, I was feeling pretty rubbish going under the line, but I tried to, you know, I think I had a couple of law exams and that 1,500 race 2 nights before, which I think I got to the race. And I think it probably did a bit more of a number on me than I might have thought. But I still tried to line up and be as aggressive and run the same way that I had been in a few races prior. Just try and run a hard, honest race. But yeah, just got a bit cooked at the end. But I think, like, I know those are my strengths. But, you know, hopefully in the future I'll be able to get to a point where I can run that way, but be running a pace that, you know, that people will be struggling to keep up with.
Because it's not like you don't have the speed as well. Like, you've got the toe to finish off with, so it's it's all there.
Yeah, hopefully I get to do Noosa again this year. Because I think doing that race, I think this year I'll have a bit more of a better idea of what I'm doing in that race. I think the corners can do it. The corners do a number on you more than you think.
Yeah,
I think it's the main thing with Noosa. Yeah, and for a tall guy like me, it's a bit, just physics, really. It does more of a number on me than a shorter guy going around the corners. So, but I think this year I'll go in there with a bit more of an intent to really get after it and try and run really fast. And I think that'll probably play more. That'll be a bit of a better strategy than just because I think the thing I've learned is, you know, it's good to go to the front if you're going to push it, but don't, you know, you don't want to be there. And if you're not pushing it enough and you're keeping people in the race, then you're just doing other people a favor. So I think that's the thing I've going back to what I said earlier about learning from bad races. I think that's something I've definitely learned. From my last couple of performances is, you know, if I'm going to be in the front, I've got to really try and do a number on the guys behind me, or at least just do something, do a bit more than what I've been doing with it in the lead. Because that's the thing, you don't want to be just doing a favor to someone else by breaking the wind for them. So,
yeah.
But, yeah.
And this year as well, like 2020, like it's an Olympic year. Your PBs are really close to, you know, Olympic qualifying times. What's the plan? You go overseas and try getting some quick races?
Yeah, so a few of us in the group are going to Mount Laguna from the 10th of April. Or we go over there on the 10th of April. And so I think plan is I'm racing the 10K at Peyton Jordan on the 7th of May, I think the date is.
Yep.
So that race will just be a good opportunity to just really have a crack at, the standard, but if not the standard, then just to, you know, as close to it as possible, because, you know, you might, odds are you can get into the Olympics by the roll down system.
Yeah. Well, that 10K standard's hard, but there's not too many 10Ks around where people can actually put times down on the kind of roll down, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So the goal is just to, if everything's tracking well and I keep training the way I am, I should, I should be on for a quick time there and be able to run a good PB. And then the goal being that plus a couple of, I think after that, go to Europe and run some, and basically just, I think pretty much just throw everything I have at trying to get as many, I'd probably do 5Ks and stuff after that. If there's another 10K in June, maybe, but I'm not really sure. I think that's all part of Nick's planning and organization, but pretty much in that 2 month period, just throw everything I have at trying to make the Olympic team. So I think the date to when you've got to have the cutoff date is like the 29th of June or something. So I pretty much have like 2 months. So yeah, in that time frame, just throw everything I can at trying to make the team. So this period right now is just really putting down a lot of good solid training to set myself up to be able to run quick in the months to come. Yeah. So that's sort of the overall plan, I guess.
That's exciting. Must get you pretty pumped up, and kind of something for our listeners to just keep track on you. I know you're on Strava, so they can follow along on there to kind of see how you're tracking and see how close to those Olympic qualifying times you can get.
Yeah, it keeps me. There hasn't been a day that's gone by where I haven't thought about, being on the Olympic team and representing Australia. It is a big motivating thing, and it would be massive achievement, and it'd be a nice culmination of all the hard work I've done. And I guess where I've come from as an athlete too. It would be a pretty cool story for some. I guess for me, who's come from nothing running wise, at least, like to end up on an Olympic team would be pretty cool. So, yeah, but I'm doing all the hard work that I can. So, you know, there's not much more than what I'm doing currently to put myself in that position. So, yeah, just got to keep plugging away, put my head down, keep plugging away, and see where we end up.
Awesome, mate. I reckon that's a perfect spot to leave it with. Plenty of positivity there. Thanks again for giving up some time to kind of share your running story with our listeners.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Thank you again to this episode's sponsor, New Balance. engineered to cushion every step, every trail, every mile. Fresh Foam X is New Balance's premium collection of their most elite Fresh Foam running shoes, which are available at select retailers, including the running company Ballarat, and at www.newbalance.com.au.